You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Hey, hi, how are you? I'm Jamie Flam, and I'm the artistic director of the Hollywood Improv. Basically, that means I'm the one responsible for booking comedians, producing shows, and making sure every night at the club is magical. You might even call me the gatekeeper. Okay, so not really, but maybe, I don't know. Outside of my job at the Improv, I also perform and write comedy, which means I sit in front of many gatekeepers myself. It's an interesting dynamic, but it's helped me learn a lot as well. Now I host a podcast about it. Each week I talk with bookers, producers, decision makers, performers, and more.
Hey, this is Cole Stratton.
This is Janet Varney.
This is Troy Conrad.
This is Todd Glass, and you're listening to Gatekeeper.
It's an inside look at the art of saying yes and no. Also, there are sound effects. Be sure to subscribe to Gatekeeper on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can find more info at sideshownetwork.tv.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever here on the Sideshow Network. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And usually right now we do a lot of hemming and hawing and chatting, but we're not going to do that because we have two very special guests here today.
We do. We have.
This is very exciting.
We have from New York City, we have two very special guests from the We Hate Movies podcast. We have Andrew Jupin and Steven Sadak here to join us today and talk about our shitty collection. We put it out there to them and they're like, yeah. Let's do this. So here they are.
We actually, hello, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for being here.
It's kind of like mainline. We do a lot of crappy comic book movies, but we've never done comic books.
So yeah, now we're getting to the source material.
Exactly. We're mainlining it now. Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be honest. So in our iTunes reviews, we've actually been compared as the We Hate Movies of comics.
Oh, okay.
Is that right? Nice.
Yeah. I was like, I'm doing something right with this.
Right here. I was going to say, those people are being really, really nice to us.
You know, most of our iTunes reviews are really nice. There was one person that was like, you know what? You guys are good, but you guys talk too much about politics.
Oh, we get that sometimes. Shut your libtard mouth.
Yep, but that's exactly what it is.
Because it's just like, hey, I have a thought and a feeling. And they're like, no thoughts and feelings. Just talk about the goddamn movie or talk about the goddamn comic. I'm like, no, we're going to talk about what we want because we are humans.
I was called a libtard on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's nice.
Because I did the Comedy Film Nerds thing. And it was actually Graham Elwood was talking about, like, drug policy in America, because he did Cartel Land, was the movie he watched.
Right.
And I was like, I probably said, yep, uh-huh, and I agreed. And the guy comes out of nowhere, like, libtard alert.
That's all it takes, dude.
Yeah.
Are you going to get that framed, like, get it on a t-shirt yes. and be like, this dude called me a libtard, I'm so proud.
Libtard alert's a good t-shirt, actually. I can get into that.
But if you're wearing the libtard alert t-shirt, are you giving the alert, or are you the alert, like, the thing that people are being alerted to?
Yeah, I want people to be alerted to my libtardness.
I'm just saying that's it's going to be a confusing t-shirt.
Yeah.
Look, I'm also going to take a soft stance here and say thank you for leaving that review, but we do appreciate you listening. It's a free podcast, so
not to get too inside baseball, but negative reviews also help you, right? For iTunes
they push you down.
Okay,
yeah, more one stars you get.
Okay.
Less stars you get, it's kind of like the Starbucks app. The less stars you get, the less rewards you get.
Okay, gotcha.
And the reward is being chart position. So the more stars you get, so if everybody goes to iTunes, like if 1,000 people went to iTunes today and just gave us all 5 stars, we'd be like in the top 200 somehow for like a couple days.
Did that mean like we could like fight Mark Maron like with that?
Well, if you
happen?
Get to the top, what you get, because it's kind of
is it like Rock'em Sock'em Robots where it's kind of like us versus Mark Maron?
It's kind of like Scott Pilgrim, you know, you have to fight all the podcasters as you pass them.
Oh, okay. I see how that works.
You have to fight Maron, you have to fight Nerdist.
I assume
you know.
Maron is like the top, like that, or maybe it's Serial. No, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like This American Life. You have to fight like you know,
Ira Glass, a big mech suit, and you got to beat the shit out of him.
Well, it's just since it's like a team of producers, like they're all in, it's like Voltron, so they're all in those different robots. And they're just.
I would love. I mean, Ira Glass, I'm sure, is an incredibly nice guy, and I would never physically assault him. But you know what? Good
Thank
to
you
know.
For prefacing.
If I were to punch him in the face and he dropped down, I'd be like more like Ira Glass jaw, and someone would be impressed by that.
Yeah.
Someone. someone somewhere.
Yeah. But if he hit you, he'd be like, Steven, say sax.
That happens to me a lot.
In this scenario, you guys are an even match.
Yeah.
In our class.
But he's probably like 3 feet taller than me, I bet.
Yeah, no, he is. He's a tall silver fox.
Yeah.
He's actually gonna be on an upcoming episode of Gilbert, so I'm like, he's a good man.
He is a good man.
What you call it? So yeah, what are we doing?
Well, I guess we're gonna talk about some shitty comic books from our terrible collection. As you know, we pull these out of dollar boxes, sometimes even less than a dollar.
Yeah, so basically here's a legit thing. If we were not taping this right now, we would be in Sherman Oaks right now looking for shitty dollar comics. That's nice. Yeah. Earth 2 Comics, because they have a sale going on right now.
Standing outside in the sun, looking through dollar boxes with other sweaty nerds. And that's exactly what we were doing.
Because I don't know if have you guys, maybe not so much you, Andrew, but, well, I don't know. Prove me wrong. Have you guys ever
I'll do my best.
Been to comic book sales like this where you're fighting the nerds to get into the boxes?
No, I've never fought a nerd for a comic book box.
No, but I do really love dollar back issue bins and stuff like that. And there's actually around Union Square, there's two guys that have tables. There's a comic book store right around the corner, but there's two tables that always have like really crappy like 75-cent comics.
Which store was this?
Forbidden Planet is in Union Square, but actually on... They're not, these are like homeless guys with comic books.
Oh, they're not licensed to sell?
No, they're not licensed sellers. Oh, I see. And they've got, it's just two dudes with tables that one guy sells them like for what he thinks they're worth. So you'll get like this X Factor comic book we're about to talk to would be like $6 because it was from the 90s. And the other guy's like, here's a dollar. Just
no, no. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, no. There's some stories out here that sell stuff that are like, I'm like, I know this is 50 cents. Like, this is worth 50 cents. And you're selling it for $5. And I'm like, I'm not.
These usually are not even worth like fuel for fires. Like that's how bad they are.
Yeah,
they're not worth the paper they're printed on. Literally.
So basically, we're going to talk about X Factor,
and this was actually kind of at the request of Steven, because we said, "Hey, what do you guys want to do?" And
be fair, I said X Men.
I tried to find some X-Men. It's really hard to find.
We found an X-Men. We found actually a really... Yeah, there was this one in which...
Oh, it was boring as shit.
It was too boring, though.
Yeah, because
it was one where, like, it was Psylocke and... You know, and she's about, and
she's
like,
doing her taxes.
Yeah, that's all it was. It was just like 20 pages. Well, there's
like Psylocke, and like she goes to lunch with. She goes to brunch with Angel.
Okay.
You know, she goes to brunch with Warren Worthington, and then Professor X is literally sleeping in the first like couple pages. Like, we get to see them at home. And then Gambit and Rogue eat breakfast.
Oh, wow.
Was this called X-Men Sundays?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I do love those. There's like X-Men. They're always like playing baseball together. There's a lot of downtime in those books, which I appreciate.
This is one of those downtime ones with there was also like the legacy virus going on.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so there was some shit going down.
Be safe out there, guys.
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
Let's do it real quick. Let's talk about what We Hate Movies is real quick, because you guys are, of course, We Hate Movies podcast here on the Sideshow Network. You guys are out here doing, you did the Los Angeles Podcast Festival preview night. Mm-hmm. We had some huge crowds for that.
Yeah.
It was a very awesome night for you guys and for all the other shows that were there too. And, so just tell people about the show that maybe not heard of it.
Yeah, so each week we take a movie from usually the 80s or the 90s and just kind of use it as a stepping stone to do terrible celebrity impressions, kind of go off on these weird tangents and sort of sometimes talk about the bad movie itself.
Yeah, and we also do, we just actually launched a Patreon as well. If you do like the show, you're unaware of it, wherein we have a brand new Star Trek show we're talking about. You can get Animation Damnation on there.
That's where we talk about bad cartoons, usually, again, from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, and today. spinning all the hits. But yeah, this is very much our wheelhouse, is digging into subpar garbage and hopefully making decent jokes.
Yeah.
Decent. You tell us. Leave an iTunes review. Let us know.
I would say, and I'm not just saying this to like blow smoke up your asses, your podcast is one of my top three favorite podcasts
of all time.
Nice. Thank you for coming.
Well, yours is my favorite empirically, so that's a little actually to be like top three. It's kind of shitty, but it's nice.
It's just a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. The top 50 podcasts I listen to.
Well, let's get into it. So X Factor is the book we're going to start off with. X Factor number 77 from April. I don't know, it's a year. April 1992.
Wow. Great year, by the way.
It's a good year.
Great year.
We're getting into it. We're not quite, you know, into the mid 90s. I kind of like this era of Marvel before, like I just like looking at this format cover. So when I know if I'm looking at those kind of covers, I know that I'm
in for a treat.
I'm into stuff that I want to get. Like, I feel like I don't normally go past like 97, 98 when they kind of had like the separate formats for all the different books, because they're like, whoa, we've got Marvel Edge, we've got Marvel, you know, Marvel Knights and Marvel this. And
I like the mid-90s Marvel, where, and you can tell when they have like that banner that says the world's greatest comics magazines on top, and then they had like the really nice recap gatefold covers, which I really liked. Do you guys remember those?
I don't remember those as much. I think that's kind of when my initial comics phase petered out.
Yeah, you do have those. I have those gaps too, where like I read those until like 99, and then I stopped, and then I came back, and
So you say it's something you know you want or whatever. Are you talking like your personal preference, or you're like, oh, good, show fodder? Like this was a low era for them.
No, it's actually a little bit of column A, column B. Because, I mean, there are series that I do collect from Marvel and DC from that era of comics, from when I remember growing up, and just stuff that I've, you know, come to start reading,
right?
And I'm just like, well, I need to find, and I know this is a part of that,
sure,
you know. So yeah, but then also, yeah, show fodder. Because but the thing is, with stuff that's silly for show fodder, like, we're realizing that we don't have any reason to keep it past that.
Yeah.
So we're kind of like,
that's like, now what the fuck are we gonna do with these comics?
Well, that being said too, because I also Steven knows this, so our buddy Kevin Kraft on the Mad Scientist Party Hour podcast, which Steven did this week, and I was there for as well. Kevin and his co-host gave us a bag of comic books.
Yes.
A bag of shit, because he's like, look, because I mentioned the show on the podcast, and he's like, well, I've got a lot, you know, look, somebody just gave me like a bag of comic books from like Goodwill.
Yeah.
So do you want them? I'm like, fuck yeah, sure, whatever. I'll take a look at them. And there was some good stuff in there.
It's that Mitch Hedberg joke. Here, you throw this out.
Pretty much.
But I did bring whatever what was left for you.
Oh, the scraps.
Yeah, because I wanted to make.
Wow.
If you want anything, you don't have to.
No, I will look through it for sure.
We will keep it here in the improv and in the bookshelves here, so people are.
That's going to be Steve. That'll be the name of your Netflix half hour, is Steven Sadek garbage scraps.
I'm excited.
Can I ask you guys a personal question really quickly?
Yes.
Do it.
Do you have a really cluttered garage with all these comic books?
We live in an apartment.
We have a really cluttered second bedroom.
We're trying to keep it clean. That's why I'm like, I try.
I mean, the struggle is real.
It really is. Yeah. And I'm just like, get the shit out of my apartment. But then I buy more. So, you know, it's my fault.
I know that game.
Yeah. So X Factor, this is called When Strife Strikes. And the cover is, I'm going to be honest, this is fucking nonsense. So I don't even know who half of these people are. And this is where Sean always helps me out, because I am not a Marvel girl. So this is difficult. We've got some guy wearing like aviator glasses, like tackling.
What do you mean you don't know who that is?
Who is that guy?
Did you read the book?
I did. But here's the thing. The art in this book is.
But he looks exactly the same in this book.
Okay,
is it Strife?
No, that's Cannonball, dudes.
Oh, Cannonball.
Yeah. Okay. So here you got Cannonball, okay. Wolvesbane.
Can I, in my defense, there are a million characters in this book.
Yes. Lot to juggle.
I'm gonna do my best to name all these.
Well, you don't have to do that. Just tell me who.
That's Cannonball
is attacking.
Okay.
Werewolf lady.
Wolf Scottish werewolf lady.
Wolvesbane.
Wolvesbane. And then there's a bunch of people behind.
And
him
then the rest of
doesn't matter.
Well, let me explain the cover. So the cover, it says when Strife attacks, and we have a big thing where Wolvesbane is being carried away by X-Factor, because on the top it says featuring X-Force's Cannonball.
Jesus Christ. X-Force, I listen,
I will be upfront. I got no idea what's going on. Forces and factors.
Okay, right? here's how X Factor in this period. They were a government sanctioned mutant force.
Okay.
They were kind of the sellouts. Everybody hated X Factor's guts. Everyone's like, oh, fucking, yeah, nice job.
Are they on the payroll now?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the X Men teams were just kind of doing their thing, and X Force was like the extreme mercenary douchebags or whatever.
Gotcha.
The Rob Liefeld Brigade.
Yeah. So, and basically on this cover, there's a big, well, it looks like it's supposed to be a brawl, but it just looks like a bunch of characters running at each other, kind of like they're going to trample each other. Like they know they want to fight each other, but they don't. So you got like Forearm and Strong Guy and Havoc.
Those are literally their names.
Strong Guy.
Strong Guy.
Strong Guy, he's a classic character.
Yeah, he's been around for a while.
But Forearm, I'm unfamiliar with his work.
Forearm was one of the guys. So the thing about Forearm is that he was
he
one of the guys.
He has forearms.
Well, he has forearms and...
does he really?
Yes.
You can't really. Well,
he's kind of like Goro.
I thought it was like your forearm.
That's what I thought too.
No. He's like
he's actually got four arms.
Oh.
And so the Forearm and his friends are a part of the Mutant Liberation Front.
Uh-huh. Mm.
They're like this group that are trying to. There's like a bunch of stuff where they're trying to, you know, release a bunch of some of their friends from some sort of prison in here. Hairball or Hairman, whoever it is.
Yeah.
Hairball, he's a cat.
I believe his name actually is Hairball. But yeah, so they're all running towards
the thing about Forearm is that he was the guy, he was the toy in the X-Force line, in the initial X-Force toy biz line.
I remember those.
That you would always find on the pegs. So when you're like, hey, I'm looking for like a Shatterstar or, you know.
A cannonball.
A cannonball. You couldn't find it because it was nothing but Forearm. And you switched to back, a switch on his back, and he went,
So, really quick question about Cannonball. So Cannonball is a Southern gentleman. Sam Guthrie is his real name, just FYI. Wikipedia needed for that. His power is he flies really fast, and when he's flying, he becomes invulnerable. That's like his deal. But do his genitals go on fire? Because when you
this
see...
This is a good question.
At the end, he does it, and you see like flames and smoke, and I'm just curious what that is.
Well, it's kind of probably a lot like the other characters that get turned on fire, like, you know, your Firestars.
Your Johnny Storm.
Your Johnny Storms, who, you know, who I'm certain, you know, their genitals become some sort of plasma, covered in some sort of plasma.
Oh, like a stuntman.
Yeah. Like, basically, that's, you know, what's going on. Like,
it's just
sort of,
smeared it's in some sort like, of gelatinous mass.
Yeah, it's like they become like a plasma, heated plasma kind of thing from his lower half.
Well, that's sexy.
It's just interesting the cannonball, it stops at his waist, though.
Yeah.
That fire doesn't spread.
No. So that's what propels him, Andrew, you see.
Oh, yeah, it was just the lower half of his body that was the mutant. The other
everything else is totally fine.
Yeah.
Human in the streets, mutant in the sheets.
So we start this book not with some cool fight like on the cover, but with two people talking to a doctor about the baby that they're going to have.
Yeah, clearly this is a flashback starring Joe Morton.
Yeah, that is exactly Joe Morton.
And
which is awesome because this comic has a Terminator 2 ad right
next sure
to it.
It sure does. It's for the Game Boy. So they're sitting there in the office and they're upset because there's a possibility that their kid could be a mutant.
And this is like your classic X-Men like analogy. This is like a meeting with a doctor about whether or not you're going to have an abortion.
Right.
Like, well, there's something wrong with it. Now, what are we going to do about this?
Right.
I don't think this is actually a flashback, because at the end of the book, Strife is like, we have to shut this place down. This is like a preview for something to come, I think.
No, because I think they're referring to...
Oh, Werewolf Face?
I told you about that. Okay. Dude, we were talking about this. It's the hilarious cut to Werewolf Face.
which the thing is that's what I didn't understand. I was like, why are we flashing back to this random character?
Right. And it doesn't even say that it's a flashback. I think it doesn't even say, like, you know, years ago or whatever. Yeah, you're just like, now, hey, here's these two random pages.
But now you posit that scenario, and I'm like... Maybe you're right.
Because at the end, Strife is like, we need to shut this thing down. We have to save thousands of unknown mutant lives, which it's like they're going to bomb an abortion clinic.
Pretty much. That's exactly
but
what
Planned Parenthood's been going on for decades, though, Steve.
Yeah, that's true. That's also very true.
But I feel like the way that they kind of cut to this, and then it feels linear.
Yeah, you're definitely right.
Because I think the panel before it's something like the equivalent of like, well, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, it's exactly what she says. Yeah, and he's got these horrible teeth.
Yeah.
By the way, this was written by Peter David.
And I think that this is like a lesser time for Peter David.
Well, this was pre Aquaman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but he was still pretty much, it was between Hulk. No, he was still probably doing Hulk at this time.
He did a ton of X-Factor. He also did the later run with the X-Factor Detective Agency, which is actually a really good book.
I've heard.
X-Factor Detective Agency. It's like the first season of Angel. Angel Investigations. I'll be over here killing myself.
So actually the title of the story is Great Expectations with the X.
Oh, yeah.
Of course it is.
I'm going to posit something else. That's not the only time that's ever happened in X-Men lore. There's got to be at least six different books.
I don't know. This might be the only time.
It has to be.
What do you mean? Six books this month?
Oh, yes.
That's the title of every X-Men book. Like, that's it. Just over and over again.
Whenever I read X-Men, I do have great expectations for it.
Exfoliate. Anyway, so we this guy hair,
it's like hairball and slab.
Slab okay. is my favorite.
Okay, slab. Yeah, slabs. They have slab and they have.
I think it's hairball or hair. It's hair something.
This is where like all the X-Men books had like 100 characters each, and there was so many. Like there was thousands of X-Men characters, so you do get a hairball. You're gonna get a forearm in there. You're gonna get a slab. Tempo shows up a little while of them now.
So actually, this is what I figured out. So he's actually a part of the Nasty Boys. Mr. Sinister's Nasty Boys.
Oh, not the wrestling group.
No.
It was that's exactly what I thought, because there's so many wrestling references on this show that's exactly where my head went.
I'm surprised that Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags should be a part of this team, but unfortunately they are not.
Alive or both dead? What are we talking?
Both alive.
Oh, wow.
That's
Brian
Nasty Boys.
Brian Knobbs is alive is impressive because he looks like he's constantly about to explode. Like, because he screams. He's one of those guys, like, he lives in Florida and he goes like Marlins games now and he just goes, "Get out, baby!" You know, and he screams so much and he just turns very red. And I'm like, and even when he was, when he was wrestling. And like they came back in TNA in like 2011 when they tried to go on Monday nights, and they were like, because Hulk Hogan was running the show, and he was like, "Hey, let's get my buddies in."
Oh yeah, his friends are getting jobs again.
They were getting jobs, and they showed up, and they had to quit because Brian Knobbs was going to die.
You don't want another dead wrestler on your hands. There's already enough.
Also,
Brian, you got to stop, brother. You're just going to kill yourself.
Also, little trivia: Jerry Sags once did an episode of Man vs. Food where he took on a chicken wing eating challenge in the stead of Adam Richman.
Did he die?
I feel like I may have seen that.
he didn't die while eating chicken wings?
No, but Brian Knobbs was there, and he was like, "Come on, baby!" And he was there. I thought he was going to die without even eating any chicken wings.
Wait, yes, I've actually definitely seen that episode of Man vs. Food.
Yeah. So anyway, so he's
they're fighting because they're trying to rescue these guys, and then this portal opens up.
Well, so the X-Factor has him captured in wherever they're holding him.
Wolf
guy captured, and Rain Wolfsbane is like, he's like, hey, haha, whatever.
Right.
And then this portal opens.
But before we get to whatever awesomeness is going on with the portal, we have to cut back to...
Oh, that's right. We have like a little bureaucracy going on
here. Some bureaucracy and some guy with, I don't know, like four...
An enormous forehead.
He's drawn very weirdly.
Everybody in this book kind of is.
There's a few very ugly drawings in here.
So they're basically talking about how whatever... There's like it's basically a black site. And it's illegal. And that's basically what they're talking about.
Man, there's nothing more exciting for me as a little kid excited about reading comic books than to hear a bunch of X-Men red tape.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what X-Factor kind of is the red tape.
Yeah. This is right after they became the government team, because it was like 71 is when the new team was introduced. Because before it was just the original five X-Men.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was just, all those people. But then... then they switched it over, and now there's a whole new vibe.
Yeah. And then these people aren't, that's it. They get one page and they're done. We don't see them again.
Yep.
That's it.
Well-paced, I thought.
Exactly.
Into nothing.
I'm like, oh, cool, open that portal, and now we just get to listen to regulations. That's
so then,
cool.
Coming out of this portal is the Mutant Liberation Front. We got Forearm with his forearms. We've got Angular Hair Man.
I don't think that's his actual name.
It might as well be.
I forgot what his name is. His name is like
Angular Shithead. Hair Man is fine. Tempo but is
it's
here.
But it's one of these things where, so conveniently enough, they come out of this portal and Rain's like, who are you? And they're like, well, this is me. And this
yeah,
is
exactly. Yep. And it's basically like a roll call. Yeah.
I'm Reaper, and this is Strobe, and then there's Tempo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Reaper's the guy with the scythe.
Okay.
And Strobe, I think, is this girl, and Tempo's the one with the bodysuit and the helmet.
Yeah. And then
there's Forearm, and then there's Wildside. Wildside.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
take a walk on the Wildside. He's named after that Motley Crue song.
Now, all of a sudden, is this the security force that they're going to start
fighting?
Yeah,
those are the guys that are going to die.
Okay. So these guys are supposed to be the heroes, but Tempo's power is literally to slow things down.
And she's terrible at it.
And she's bad at it, but she slows everything down. And everybody's like, all right, that's cool. We can totally just like start picking them off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not heroic. How is that heroic?
No.
How does that power work where, so she can selectively slow some one person down or a group of people?
Maybe. Well, she's got some line in there. And this is what, you know, nothing's ever good enough for these people because she's got some line where she's like, I was able to slow them down to 1/10 their normal speed. And I was right. Like, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And one of them, you know, Crescendo or whoever the fuck comes by and is just like, oh, well, I guess we'll have to work with that. 1/10 their own speed. That's pretty good.
Jesus. You guys are mutants and these people are not.
Who's the one that looks like Glenn Danzig right there? Who's that guy?
Oh, I think that's Reaper.
Is that Reaper?
That's Reaper? Okay.
Yeah, so, he does look like Glenn Danzig.
I kind of feel like Tempo's actual mutant power is just to make everyone hungover. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh yeah, you're 1/10 your actual speed.
She sets up a bunch of tequila shots and just shoots them at her face.
Just like, who wants some hair of the dog? And that's her job. So basically everybody just starts fighting.
Oh, wait, did we pass by the Roger Clemens thing yet?
No. I don't know. You tell me. I think it's at the end.
Oh, yeah.
So
spoiler alert.
Basically they're like, hey, this is who we are. And there's even like when Reaper says like, oh my God, it's X-Force, like the X-Force is drawn like the logo. And then he even says like, oh, and with a whole new lineup. Like,
yes,
this is a
because apparently
cartoon.
So it's an X-Force joke, I guess is the idea.
It's an X-Force joke is that everybody thinks that they're that, because I think the MLF has typically fought X-Force.
Gotcha.
Because they were introduced in, like, you know, all those New Mutants early X-Force books.
Yeah, yeah.
So here, you know, here's the X-Factor, and they're like, well, who's X-Factor? Oh, man. And then they're coming out, and X-Factor's, like, upset that they don't know who they are.
To be fair to the Mutant Liberation Front, if I may, there are a lot of teams. And you know what? I might get X-Force mixed up with X-Factor, with X-Men Blue or X-Men Yellow.
Hey,
or
turns out that whole thing went right over my head. I just kept on reading.
So we got Havoc, we got Strong Guy, we got Polaris, and we got Multiple Man.
Not enough Multiple Man in this book for my taste.
I didn't even know he was there.
Yeah, I didn't.
Multiple
either.
Man's in this.
He's where here, he? And then he has a. He's right here. That's it, right there.
He wasn't wearing a cool leather jacket like Eric Dane in that movie.
No, and there's only one of them.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's also a very good point.
That does not help.
What, was he sick?
He's hungover.
Yeah, yeah.
he's hanging out with Tempo a little bit too long.
He doesn't have any dupes really help them out here.
Yeah, what the hell?
What a waste.
There is an epilogue with Multiple Man where he's talking about something else that happened and his dupe got some information from something
I've read up on Multiple Man. He basically can like have his dupes who are, you know, basically exact clones of him go off and like live their own lives.
Yeah.
And like get information. And when they come back, he can absorb them and get their information.
Oh, I remember that dialogue being talked about now. Okay. I didn't understand that was Multiple Man. Though.
Yeah. So no,
I get it.
So like, can they like get jobs and pay rent?
They can
rent
have families. Yeah. They could do all the same things.
Do they all have the same name, same social security number kind of an issue?
Well, they probably have the same genetic material, so if he's like, you know, if he wants to get into somewhere, you know, or if he needs to, you know, if they share the same Planet Fitness card, you know, all that stuff.
That's helpful.
If one of these dupes is going off and creating their own life, and they have a family and whatnot, and then, like, the OG Multiple Man absorbs that dupe, is Multiple Man now responsible for taking care of those kids?
You would assume so, right?
I mean, technically, but yeah, I think maybe hopefully he's imparting some sort of responsibility.
Right, into the dupes.
Some sort of morals.
Right.
Yeah, into the
dupes. Wrap it up, dupes.
Wrap it up, dupes.
Always use birth control.
Yeah.
Dupe.
So, but yeah, he's there's only one of him in this fight.
Which is just, what a fucking failure. You have one job, comic book writer.
So yeah, so forearm and strong guy square off.
And, oh, that's a classic confrontation.
I mean, waited all my life for that one.
Thank God.
It's funny because he's a strong guy is fighting forearm, and he's like he hates because he likes to want to be called Guido, but they're calling him strong guy at this point. Mm-hmm. And he's taking him out, and he's like, he hates this name that I picked. He thinks it's stupid. Me, I don't know why strong guy is any dumber than Superman.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Superman. Yeah.
There's a lot of jokes like that in this book.
It's Peter David. He's a funny guy.
Peter David taking the DC down.
Is that all it took to take DC?
It was. He was taking him down at this time. But
also the cover. It's a classic bait and switch cover where the cover says when Strife attacks.
Right.
Strife is just in front of a TV screen, and they kind of do like this.
Well, he's gonna attack. But at the very end, he's like, hey, let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to attack.
Yeah, maybe this book should be called
the Four Strife Attacks.
Exactly.
Also, Cannonball being in this book is very limited.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Because he doesn't show up till like the end.
Strife is Cable's clone. Did I get that right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so, there's a very weird history with this. If you think it goes over my head,
yeah.
Poor Andrew would turn to dust.
Well, that's kind of what I'm curious about with the Deadpool movie that's coming up with Cable in it. Like, Cable is, for everyone out there, is Cyclops' wife that he had with a Jean Grey clone, Cyclops' son with a Jean Grey clone that goes into the future and grows up in an alternate future and then comes back older than Cyclops. So is that going to be in that movie? They're like, hey, that guy's just Cable.
No. You know what? That's probably
just Cable. It's just going to be. Playing Cable? Somebody.
I don't think they've announced it.
They cast. I thought they cast somebody.
There was a lot of rumors that Kyle Chandler might be the guy, and they're not sure if that's going to happen yet. But
that'd be cool.
Friday Night Cable. All right. Jen's been watching a lot of that.
I've been watching Friday Night Lights. It's really, really well written and very well acted.
Have you gone through it before?
No, this is my very first time.
Where are you in it?
Very beginning of season 3.
Oh, okay. So you made it through the death that is season 2.
Yeah.
That
was a slog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all smooth sailing.
Okay. Because the one thing that just like pisses me off is like every fucking kid in that stupid show is having sex with people way older than they should, and I'm just like getting angry about it. I'm just like, what is happening in this stupid town?
Oh, that's Texas.
Oh, shit, man. Like, I told Sean, I'm like, I don't think I could live in a town where the only thing people cared about was football.
Football and fucking.
Well, I mean, one of those I could care about. Yeah. I'm like,
I had to read, when I played football in high school, I had to read an excerpt of Friday Night Lights, the book.
Okay.
It was supposed to motivate us.
Oh, weird.
Did it motivate you to not live in Texas?
I didn't even start.
I mean, not that Texas is bad.
I sat the bat. I think it was, what was it, probably junior. Yeah, I didn't even start. I didn't even get to play special teams.
Oh, no.
And there's 19 kids on my team. It was everybody played the other side, and they're like, you know, and the coach, I was in the weight room all the time, and he's like, hey, Sean, you're not that good. But you know, I'll still, you know, if you want to go to college and play football, maybe I could pull some strings. I'm like, no, I don't want to play football. I don't want to play football now.
I don't know why I'm here.
Why am I here? I'm here because I have friends, and I don't want to be treated badly by my friends.
Quitting the team.
My favorite part of this book is when Strife is
I was having a session.
No, it's okay. It's when Strife is being tug of war between two locations.
Yeah, we're gonna get there.
We'll get there.
But we have a little. Well, first of all, we get a little thing here where the Mutant Liberation Front is the Thumbelina. I think this is.
Oh, good God,
Thumbelina. Okay. She's like a squat woman.
Oh yeah, she gets big,
and she like somehow in the midst of all this fighting, there's like this one security guard who's just kind of like standing like, holding, yeah, you know, watching after a Slab, and she goes and kind. Apparently, they're brother and sister. I don't know if they're just calling each other brother and sister.
Slab and Thumbelina are kin.
Yeah. I guess.
Oh, all right.
When she comes in, she's like,
hey, big
mom
boy,
called me. Good. She said she's worried sick. Sorry, sis.
Yeah, so they're obviously related.
Okay.
Also, she hails from Detroit because they're like, who said that? It's like, where'd that come from? And she gets big and she's like, where'd you come from? He's like, Detroit. Punch.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Jokes.
Jokes. Yeah.
Jokes.
Detroit.
Jokes.
The Punch City.
Yep. So there's just like a bunch of nonsense in
here. Well, here's actually my favorite part of the book.
Is this the part where there's like some mad scientist who's like, there's this random aside where this mad scientist is like, I've built a mech suit.
I will. I forgot what this guy's name is because I read it.
He says, Professor Vic Chalker, have finally completed the super deadly exoskeleton. And he's like, yes, I'm going to go kill people. He goes outside and it starts raining. And he's like, oh no, not rain. And he gets electrocuted in his own suit.
What a failure.
Just as this is Cannonball.
Cannonball.
Just as Cannonball like drives by and of course flies by. And he's like, man, that's a weird statue. And that's it. That's all you
but
see.
Why is this here? I also like this close up because you see just his skull in the suit because he got burned alive. And he's like, that's weird. None of my business. Goodbye.
I was so confused by that.
Yes.
Because there's so much else going on here. Let's just stay with the 40 characters we have.
Why is this in here?
Well, because he shows up in like later in some of the annuals, I think, this year.
Oh, what, that's exciting.
What, Dr. Mechsuit?
Yeah.
But he's dead.
Is he?
Very good question.
You know what this reminds me of? Like that scene in, I think, Police Academy 3 when there's that scene where they're all training and the one woman, she's like, she kicks the door open. She's like, kicks it open and she's like, yeah. And then it closes back her face. She's like, tish. No. And I just imagine this guy walking out. He's like, I'm here to kill.
Nope.
Burn. This poor guy, he explodes and like fucking fire shoots out of his eyes.
Yeah, he dies.
That's a shame.
Yeah. R.I.P. random guy.
Poor.
You didn't even get a full page.
The way that Cannonball's face is drawn, he's kind of got very bemused. He's kind of like, that's not my problem.
So
is that a skeleton in a mech suit?
Yeah, not my problem. There's just basically a lot of fighting. Quicksilver shows up.
Yeah, Quicksilver gets
and Tempo can't slow him down because he's Quicksilver.
Sure, that's how that works.
Whatever, that's fine. So yeah.
I was always confused. Quicksilver is fast, but not that fast is the idea in the comics.
Like, yeah, he's not as fast as the Flash would be.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Right. Just like, you know,
the Flash is like a part of like a Speed Force thing and like probably a bigger thing than just a genetic mutation.
Sure. I see what you're saying.
But you know, he is just, you know, he's fast, but he's, yeah.
Not that fast.
And he's also a dick.
Yeah,
usually they are. So then all of a sudden, the portal opens back up. And this is where there's another team of mutants on the other side of the portal.
No, this is the team where, this is where they came from.
Okay.
Who's opening this portal? That's my question.
Strife is opening the portal.
Okay.
Because that's Strife's deal.
That's his thing.
Portal Strife, opening.
He's a portal man, and he's also got telekinetics, and he's also a geneticist. He's also
an accomplished musician.
He's like a John Tesh.
He's written a lot of novels, you guys.
He's got a few YAs under his belt.
He has a lot of fingers and a lot of pies.
He's open to portals in like some sort of pastel room, apparently. What?
No, go ahead. He opens this portal.
And all these goobers come through.
Right.
But then somebody yanks his cape. Rage Wolf just sticks her hand through and yanks his cape.
All right.
And
so that's what's happening.
And that's how he gets his hand stuck. And they start trying to, X-Master tries to pull him.
It's a tug of war at like a company picnic. It's like basically what we're looking at right here.
Team building exercise.
It really is. So they're trying to play some, you know, tug of war before the portal closes. And
they yank off his glove. So they're pulling him,
and then does he go back through? This is so confusing for me.
They pulled off his glove because multiple man. It's like, hey, it was just his glove.
Are they
just
sell
his glove
that on eBay?
Yeah,
like, what's that plot?
I was hoping it was his hand. Doing like a Star Wars?
Well, somehow
thing?
His glove came off because I mean, which is. I mean, I don't know, because I thought his suit was just full of, like...
It's just a whole one-piece thing.
Yeah, like, it's all separate together.
Oh, okay.
But
multiple pieces in.
Yeah, but, you know, that came off, and then they're like, Man's like, well, maybe we could just mail this, like, to the return address or something, or we could find out where they live.
It's just some mutants looking for a fucking lost and found.
Pretty much.
Like, let's just get on with it.
Right.
And then he's like, you know, and then, you know, Rolls Bane's like, smells funny. You know, maybe I can track it.
Yeah, because the dude never takes his glove off. I'm certain it smells very, very right.
But I think it's because it smells like Cable, because maybe she knows Cable.
Because
Wolvesbane used to be a part of the New Mutants, and back when Cable showed up.
Okay.
you know.
Knowing what Cable's hands smell like is just right? a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, you're like, oh, that's a smell you're carrying with you?
She's a mutant. She's like, you know, Wolverine, where she could just smell everything. You know, sure. Right, Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a catalog of smells. Yeah. Going out of-
she's very good at sorting out her smells.
Rolodex of smells.
Rolodex of smells, yeah.
I don't think I'd want that power.
No. We did talk about this before we started, though. There's a little ad in here for a Roger Clemens... it's for the Fleer 1992 baseball cards or whatever.
A two-page spread, by the way.
Two-page spread.
They paid handsomely.
Yeah, which apparently he has like three different cards in here. Or 12 career highlight cards from Roger Clemens, and he's, you know, just looking like...
He's got a little bubble there. What's he saying?
He says, these cards are hotter than my fastball.
Yeah.
You know,
great.
Yeah.
I really hope one of those cards is just like him in his underwear, like drinking a beer.
Career highlight.
Yeah, that's a great career highlight.
Actually, it's him doing some juice.
Yeah, him sitting in a kiddie pool in the back of his trailer, juicing, flying the Confederate flag.
Oh, is he a big Confederate dude?
Probably.
Okay. I
don't know. Not to slander the rocket on the air, but that guy's a piece of shit.
That's right. He used to be a Yankee. That's I forgot about that. That was a thing. And I had a brief affiliation with baseball back around this time, I think, actually.
You never got to play, but there was only four kids on the team.
the same coach, Sean. You're just not good. I'm sorry, Sean.
No, I collected baseball cards for a minute.
Oh, everybody did. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, but then then I realized that was a waste of time.
Yep, and you're right.
sure are.
You were right.
They pull off the glove, and then we go to Val Cooper, who's like their government liaison, and she's coming in. I guess during Havoc and Jamie Madrox are all having like some sort of session here
where it's they're a therapy session.
A therapy session.
It's not actually, but let's just call it a therapy session.
Sure.
Because they're all just talking.
They need a formal briefing because I think they need to talk about they're trying to figure out more about the jerks that showed up, the mutant liberation front. You know, and they're like, well, what's going on? How does this work? Blah blah blah. And then and then he's talking about the dupe that he absorbed.
Ingested, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I ate myself earlier.
And he mentioned something about Mr. Sinister, which kind of freaks out Havoc. And he's right. Like, oh shit, Lorna's going to be upset. Oh, or Polaris.
That X-Factor Detective Agency spin later, also written by Peter David in a they do a lot of cool stuff with dupes. I think one of them turns out to be a killer kind of a thing.
Oh,
like,
you that's
kind of
nice.
Yeah, it's like, oh, who are these dupes? What do they do when they leave?
Who
are these dupes?
What's the deal with dupes?
So
you have one, then you have another. And then there's another one over there. What do you do?
So then we cut to, like, I'm assuming we're in, like, Central Park or something. And Rain and Lorna are just having a walk, and they're talking about like the issues that they have. And Lorna is drawn with like one eye on her forehead, and like the other one's on her chin.
It's a really bad drawing of her.
And all of a sudden, Cannonball comes and like takes Lorna and like flies her to a roof. And I guess like they have a thing.
Well, they used to be really close during the New Mutants days.
Yeah,
well, like because Lorna
really close as
because Sam was a kind of like a older brother kind of figure for her back when they were, because I think she was like the youngest of the New Mutants.
Got it.
Yeah. And so
And she's like, I can't be with you anymore. And he's like,
he wants her to come join X-Force.
Yeah,
too.
But instead of him just being like, I understand that we've broken up. He's like, you've been brainwashed. All right, dude, not taking that one very well.
It would be great if he's like, you have to join X-Force with me. She's like, isn't this X-Force?
Isn't that the book we're in? What is happening?
I might get it wrong.
I do like the idea, though, if there was one of these X teams that winds up just being a cult, right? Like,
we're totally just another X-Men faction. Come on over.
X-Branch Divinity.
Yes. Exactly. And we all have a lot of
X-Manson.
This is Heaven's Gate, guys. It's fine. And then we're back with Strife. Or I'm not even sure. Are we with Strife again? Because there's Forearm.
Well, now we have a little coda here, or a little last thing here with the...
And it's like, we're going to get him.
Yeah, we're going to bomb those abortion clinics.
Yeah.
And what is this? Wildside. Wildside's like, yeah, all right. Can't wait to kill these. I love this job because, you know, he's just a crazy angular man.
Yeah.
You know,
with a lot. There's a lot of teeth in this book. Can I just say that, like, everybody has, like, more teeth than they should.
He has, like, one big teeth here.
Yeah, it's just, like, and all. And they're like, it's like a plow going on.
What is
on.
The, what's the letter column named? I'm always interested in letter column names.
X changes.
X changes. X-changes. I always love those.
Yeah.
So that's the end of that book.
And that's the end of that.
The
next
end of that chapter.
Yeah, next.
Wait, so the whole, what was the big story here? The portal tug of war?
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. This book to me is impenetrable.
Okay. Yes. Basically, the story is that the Mutant Liberation Front is
right. going fronting. To do something about something
they're going
eventually.
To bomb abortion.
Their new threat that X Factor is now contending with. So we get to hang out with them here and have them fight. And then there's this whole, all the stuff with that exploding guy and the. You know, and then also
just trying to figure out what to do with that glove.
It's like one of those Buffy episodes where like we're just doing literally nothing for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, I don't know what are his powers. Oh, Adam's invincible. You know, I just found out Adam's invincible again in this episode.
But hey, don't worry, something's coming.
Right, let's do some research.
Please
and then
keep tuning in.
So yeah, so next month, more fun with the Mutant Liberation Front. So
yeah,
let's
so that's it.
So
I won't be following. I'm not gonna. Look
well, that's our question.
That's our question. Would you read the next issue of this?
No, absolutely not. Okay, it's a bad time for the like again. I really do like Peter David's later X Factor stuff. I just think it's a bad kind of time for X-Men books.
Oh, I think it goes without saying. I wouldn't continue reading this. I have no idea what's going on. The whole time I'm like, where's a Wolverine? Give me a Cyclops. I'm a traditional guy. When it comes to the X-Men, I'm scared to branch out. I never really did, not even as a kid.
But this is very 90s,
yeah.
So
yeah.
We had to go that route.
Big time.
But yeah, no, I don't. I you know what? No, I'm not reading this.
We're gonna get a.
I mean, I kind of like it. I kind of feel okay with it.
Sure. This is how it starts. There's gonna be so many X Factors.
I can get these in trades. I think so.
Oh
I,
man,
that'll save some space.
You want them? You want them on your bookshelf next to Moby Dick?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would absolutely not read the next one. No.
Of course not.
No.
All right, well, that's X Factor number 77 from April 1992, starring Joe Morton. we'll be back with our next book.
Hey, guys, it's Adam Ray.
And Josh Wolf, and we have a new podcast on the Sideshow Network called Good Call. It's a sports show for the casual fan. We aren't talking stats, no spreadsheets, or in-depth analysis, nothing like that.
Yeah, it's just fan opinions that will make you laugh and think. So if you want to listen to it, download, rate, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or check us out on the sideshownetwork.tv/goodcall or anywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm not sure how much thinking is being done.
What?
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Worst Collection over here on Sideshow Network, here with our good friends Steven Sadak and Andrew Jupin from We Hate Movies. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
This is, you know,
and talking about X Factor. So sorry.
We are taking, look, you guys are only out here in the West Coast for a limited amount of time. We are like, look, come here for an hour and we're going to talk about X Factor.
Yes. Waste a shit ton of your vacation time talking about a book that makes no sense.
Some time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You want to take about some time you might not get back. X Factor.
The important thing is we all came through it together. Everyone's in one.
We made it through.
We came through that portal. We didn't have. We didn't lose any gloves.
No gloves. No one's mailing us stuff.
It's funny when we did the live show. I realized I don't have to ever see Batman and Robin ever again.
Yeah,
that was a really like relieving fall. And I feel like I'll never have to read that issue of X Factor again.
Exactly.
And I want to talk about it again. Think about it. It's all gone.
Gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
So wonderful.
Life is a blessing. So we're going to get into a good old favorite of ours here on the show. We're going to talk about Batman.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Specifically, Detective Comics starring Batman. Well, actually, it's technically Detective Comics starring Batgirl and Batman.
Yeah, mostly Batman.
Because
yeah.
This is around the time I think when Batman was actually, this was actually going to get, they were going to, considering canceling this.
Oh, wow.
Because in the DC implosion, I think it was just before, actually it was a couple years before this, Detective Comics wasn't doing as well. And they were considering canceling it.
Mm.
But what they ended up doing was combining the Batman Family comic, which had all the stories about Batgirl and, you know, Bat Hound and whoever.
Alfred.
And Alfred and Dick Grayson and
wait, Bat Hound?
Oh yeah, there's a
Bat Hound. Ace the Bat Hound.
Ace the Bat Hound, yeah. There's even a Bat Cow now.
Is he Bruce Wayne's dog?
Yeah.
And Bruce Wayne's cow.
He's a dog. No, well, but Bat Cow is...
No, Bat Cow is technically Damian Wayne's cow.
Is he an orphan cow?
Parents murdered.
They were slaughtered.
Right in front of him.
Yeah, he didn't get on the truck. And
my favorite thing about Bat Cow is that in the Lego Batman 3 game, you can play as Bat Cow.
Okay.
Yeah. And you basically... And he moves. You just run around and he goes, murr. And he gets angry when he attacks, and it's like,
why does
angry
a cow need to be a vigilante? I don't understand.
He even has a cape.
There's a whole scene where Gilbert Gottfried as Mr. Mitzi Pickle yells at Bat Cow for wanting to be a superhero, because you kind of have to like help them do something, because that's how those Lego games are. You have to be like, ah, I lost my my piece of fruit in this bag of in this pile of garbage. Can you help me find it? I don't know where it is. Yeah. You know, or like whatever. So,
yep, Bat Cow.
But anyways, we're doing Detective Comics number 496 from November 1980.
Ooh,
I was a couple months old.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
when this came out.
Yep.
FYI. And on the cover. Okay, so on the cover, it's Batman and, well, you don't. Okay, so the title is full length thriller. A murder on the mystery ship.
Sure.
Murder on the mystery ship. There's also,
but it's not really a mystery ship. Like that is false advertising.
Was this issue written by Agatha Christie?
Yeah.
She's just over in the corner.
Well, I thought I'd dabble into comic books.
No, that's how she sounds.
Sure, she did.
So we got Batman on the cover fighting on a boat mast. He looks like
They're fighting in the crow's nest. Look at that.
Crow's nest, yeah.
Which, by the way, never happens in this issue. Fucking false advertising.
Right?
As always.
Thanks anyway.
But here's the thing. You don't know this is Clayface.
Right.
We know it's Clayface.
It just looks like some Times Square flasher.
Yeah. It looks like Freddy Krueger.
He does.
He really does.
Just as a Times Square flasher.
Yeah.
Which, no.
I mean, maybe that's his second career.
Yeah.
You know, who are we to judge?
He's a pervert Freddy. Anyway.
This is a Nightmare on Elm Street prequel, guys.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm down.
So.
This is right after the fire, but then he went to New York City. He did some stuff.
Did some flashing.
Jason showed up. You know, that's when Jason the Manhattan takes place. Yes. That's a period piece, if you didn't know.
So this is not really a mystery ship. This is a ship where they are having a horror movie film festival.
Yes.
Because that's where you want to have a film festival.
Well, let me ask. So Andrew Jupin, you work for a theater, mm-hmm. and you actually do a lot with film festivals and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And you obviously, we hate movies. The movies part is no lie. You guys are movies.
Yeah, we do movies.
Mm-hmm. You do movies. And film festivals on boats, yay or nay?
I would definitely go to an on-boat film festival. Totally. I don't know about an on-boat horror film festival, though, because right? You know what that is? That's just a horror convention at sea, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Because I can't get out, man.
You can't get out,
that's,
no.
That's the problem, is I can't just kind of dip in and dip out. I'm on a fucking boat with these creeps.
You can't
You're stuck on there with John Saxon. You're stuck on there with... fucking was it what's his face, the guy from Phantasm, Reggie something or other?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, all those guys. You're stuck on there with the whole Phantasm cast.
The dudes that will appear at horror conventions. Plus all
Sid Haig. Sid Haig's there.
Sid Haig is definitely there. And it's all also just a bunch of fat guys with beards who are trying to get you to watch the DVD of their movie.
Oh yeah.
It's a lot of people slipping you DVDs.
Hey, we did this movie. We shot it for like $500. It's really good, though. Mm-hmm. We shot
and
it.
And they make
on...
you feel creepy about it, too, because you know they're like, they look around before they slip it to you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sure.
So you're is this contraband?
Oh, is it also, do you think there's like those Halloween Horror Nights kind of things? Like when we went to the Scream LA and there's those guys that are in character running around like pretending like they're a crazy person just so they can make you go, hey, what's that guy doing here? And then you go, and it's like, oh, they're a part of this horror fest.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's another one.
Pre-advertising.
Yeah. And you know they're going to do that like near the edge of the ship and someone's going
to
go over.
Someone's going to go over and they're going to be like, it wasn't my fault. And they're going to go back to doing their thing and they're going to have to stop the boat, throw the life raft over.
I saw a dude like that yesterday. I was on Hollywood Boulevard.
Did you see Captain America and all those guys too?
No, I saw a guy dressed up like Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, seriously? No.
And it was awesome because it was like the greatest exchange ever. What I didn't know, you know, we did some, decided to do some touristy stuff yesterday. You know, we're walking around. It's basically like your Times Square is that place. So it's also, it's like a West Coast wretched hive of scum and villainy. And, you know, you got like your Spider-Mans who could also be pedophiles and you don't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I saw a really bad Darth Vader, but this Edward Scissorhands, kind of like you saw him approach this woman and like the glove came up and it was like, you're ready for a picture? And this woman just looked him dead in the eye and was like, no. Just kept walking. And then it was, this dude was then playing dejected Edward Scissorhands, which was a better character that he did a better job at. It was awesome.
Oh, that's amazing.
Sandman Scissorhands. I like it.
But we all wouldn't go to a horror convention on a boat. But you know who would? Batman.
Oh, absolutely. And he does.
Wait, so is he now, invited?
I guess.
Bruce Wayne bought a pass to be on this thing.
Okay. Apparently, because Bruce Wayne knows a lot about horror movies, as we find out.
It's so awesome.
Also,
so,
this boat has, like, full-size monsters.
Well, that is the thing. So, like, we're here. It's basically the happy hour. It's a meet and greet. There's some dude dressed like Dracula. And they
Luger is there. He's, hanging out.
So if Batman's a
Michael
horror...
Michael Berryman's there.
If Batman's a horror guy, does that mean that the dinosaur in the Batcave is Carnosaur? Actually, did he buy the prop?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He replaced Carnosaur.
He replaced it. He went, I could use a new one of these. Because we have a theory about what that dinosaur really is. Steve, I told you about this.
Yeah, please.
We watch Gotham.
Don't do it. I mean, watch Gotham. You can tell the story.
At the tail end of last season, it was revealed that Thomas Wayne was helping out a woman in the woods.
Yep.
Who
had a dinosaur hand?
Was mutated because she had a dinosaur hand.
No.
Yes. And she was in this cabin. No one knew where she was for 10 years. And the only person who knew was Thomas Wayne. And he's
slipping her food and money and stuff.
Yep. He's the only person who came to visit.
It's just a dinosaur hand. I mean, like, come on, society.
Right? But my theory is he was fucking her, okay, obviously.
Obviously,
they had a baby, which had just had a human head and a dino body.
What?
Ooh. Right? This is my theory.
Okay,
and then he was raised by Doctor Strange, and now he is a monster.
Or Dr. Hugo Strange.
Yes.
He was a monster.
Because in Gotham, nothing makes sense.
Sure.
So now he has escaped, and eventually he will come talk to Bruce Wayne about getting his share of the inheritance.
Oh, I see.
That is when he will evolve into his final form, which is the dinosaur, and then Bruce will, like, spray him with, like, anti-dino spray or something, and he'll be frozen forever in his cave.
Oh, I was going to say, just kill him and stuff him.
That works, too.
That, too. His name is Steve Wayne.
Yeah, it's
Steve Wayne. I'm Steve Wayne. I'm kind of a dinosaur. It's not a big deal. So
it's all right, guys. Don't worry about it.
So that's where it all starts. That's why this show is essential to the DC canon.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's fucking disgusting.
But here on this boat,
show.
This is before that, you know, Batman's just looking for a new dinosaur.
I just actually had a question because Godzilla, there's a Godzilla prop that's about to fall on this lady, and that's how we start here.
Right.
Would you put Godzilla in a horror film festival?
No. No, that's a different story. It's a monster. He's
maybe.
Well, maybe it's not really Godzilla, is it?
Godzilla.
They're name dropping Godzilla. So it almost kills this lady. Batman, of course, appears and he saves her. And he's got this weird line where he's like saving her and he's thinking and he's like, at best I can remember the lyrics, a train suddenly comes along and the grasshopper ends up as peanut butter. And I was like,
Did someone cross-reference that on azlyrics.com?
No,
what song is that?
I have no idea. I was like, okay, Batman.
Is that a Bob Dylan song?
We're not 100 years old, so we won't know what that is.
So we're like, whatever.
I was just born.
Yeah.
I would have known.
So, Batman saves this woman, and of course, then he has to, like, she's hugging him. And you're like, this is Batman's game.
Yeah,
like, this is why he does this.
Oh, yeah.
Keep in mind, he's in it for the hugs.
Absolutely.
Keep in mind, too, another book we were looking at here for Batman Detective Comics. This one beat it out because it had a better story. But
it had a movie convention. That's why it beat it.
A movie convention, too.
But, in honor of your podcast.
Oh, thank
right, right. But the one we actually had was Batman just broke up with Silver St. Cloud.
Oh, okay.
Who was, Steven, are you familiar with Silver
St.
Cloud?
Yeah, she's one of Batman's girlfriends.
One of his paramours. So she...
I said girlfriend. They had, they were in love. They were in love.
So he just broke up with her. So he is out there beaten up like hippies. They're trying to steal fish.
Yeah, he's all mad.
And he is angry. And they're like, man. And even the police officer is like, I wouldn't want to be around Batman tonight. He's got a dark heart. Because Batman's beating up this hippie. And he's like, I'm having a hard time. And he punches this guy. And
but. Then he goes home.
He goes home and he throws the his cowl at the wall.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Then he picks up this picture of Silver St. Cloud, and it is written on the picture. It says, "Dear Bruce, I will love you always and always."
Oh,
and we're like, oh,
nice, Silver.
Holy shit! Yeah, but then it got boring.
But then he throws,
in parentheses, ass play.
I'm up for it.
Yeah.
Then he like gets mad at Alfred because Alfred's like, calm the fuck down. And he's like, fuck you, Alfred. And then at one point he turns to his picture of his parents and he just shakes his fist at it and he's like, it's all your fault.
Oh my god. Yeah. What a fucking train wreck.
And then it got really boring. So it was really good for like a few pages. They were like, oh, so sorry.
But so that's another Clayface one. That was also the one where, okay, I gotta talk about this one.
Mm-hmm.
This scene where he shows, so there, Gordon is like, so somebody killed a friend of Gordon's who was a security guard, and Clayface, gooped him.
Uh-huh.
And Batman shows up and he goes, this is the worst murder I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, what? But worse than your parents being murdered?
Yeah, that's a good point. But
the most heinous murder.
If Batman shows up on this boat, you have to be like, well, someone on this boat is Batman.
It has right? You're on a boat.
No one heard a skiff pull up. The bat skiff didn't pull up. He's here.
He has to be.
And he loves horror movies.
Exactly. Who isn't accounted
for?
He's
a big Mario Bava fan.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So as he's comforting this woman, this guy walks up to him, and his name is...
You should not be able to walk up to Batman, by the way.
He's not approachable.
Carlinger. And he is an actor and a director.
Oh, sure he is.
And that in Batman, he's like, oh, man, Batman, come into my office where I have all this horror shit. And Batman's like, oh... Totally, like, because he's like into this.
He's so into it.
He nerds out kind of a little bit.
He really does. He's like, oh, like, here's, there's like a picture of Bela Lugosi on the wall.
Well,
whatever.
Am I remembering this right? So this guy, it's like the guy who has organized this horror convention on a boat.
Yes.
And he brings Batman into this room and he's like, this room is an exact replica of like a Boris Karloff knockoff's dressing room.
Yeah.
And Batman is like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yes, that's exactly what happens.
He is nerding out so hard.
Does. Oh my God, is that something?
Yes. And he's like, oh, it's Basil Carlo, which is Clayface. And then he's like, oh, you remember him. And Batman's like, oh, I do. He lost, and then he gives you like a backstory of like, basically he became Clayface because he lost a part.
Yeah.
So
my question.
He's an old guy.
Is Batman a fan of? Is he like pissed about like? Oh man, you had it all, Clayface,
and you threw it away.
Mm-hmm. You think he would? Like, I really wish they had drawn like a little lanyard around his neck with like a pass, all access. It would have been so good.
Gotham Scream Fest 1980. Yeah.
So then, after Batman's done like nerding out, we cut to Clayface, who is in an old age home.
No, he's not, is he?
Yeah, this is his old age home, or at least a hospital.
I thought he was in a mental hospital.
I thought he was in Arkham.
Could be that.
I think it was
it's like the Arkham retirement wing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And he's reading a newspaper, talking to a nurse about how there's a horror fest on a boat.
That would make the papers.
Right? That he's not invited to, even
actually,
though...
I wish the headline was just, why is this on a boat? Written by Jimmy Olsen.
Because the attendance is sinking.
I do like how petty Clayface is.
He's so petty.
It's so great. I mean, if he's this petty, how could he expect to make it in the acting world in the first place?
Yes.
You have to be able to absorb rejection, learn to love rejection.
And he is not having it because he even
Hollywood
like,
would be filled with Clayfaces right now. We would just,
oh my God,
you would just be here
Clayface.
And just be everybody just full of goop and caked makeup,
Yeah. It's just a city of supervillains, and they all want you to be on their web series.
So, like, he's like, my name's here, but they didn't invite me. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. And he, like, rips his fucking newspaper into shreds and then, like, murders this nurse because he didn't get an invitation.
He is brutal.
That nurse is
dead.
She, absolutely. Come on. Her kids are now orphans because of Clayface and get an invite.
To a horror convention, man. Like, you know, let's just relax.
It's not the only one,
wedding,
dude.
One thing, I guess, right? Or like, oh, someone didn't tell me dad died and I missed the funeral.
Right.
It's a fucking horror convention.
You think the guy that played the original Jeepers Creepers is this petty? Like, he's just like, oh, man.
I wonder how Keith David would feel. It's just like, what?
Yeah. I didn't... Oh, if there's one person.
Or Tony Todd.
You,
guys...
you don't snub either of them. Tony Todd, Keith David, Ken Foree. None of those guys.
I was just saying, yeah.
Oh, Ken Foree would be fucking pissed.
And he literally even says, like, he's talking to her dead body. He's like, I mean, have you ever wanted to go to an exciting party and no one invited you?
I don't know. I'm dead, dude.
You strangled me with your old man hands. With your elder, which, by the way, she should be able to fucking sun him or something. Because, I mean, come on. She should have some sort of, like, at least something where, like, I have a bobby or something. Please defend yourself. You can't just tell me this old guy. What is this, Sopranos? Was this Peach La Mancha?
Because he's drawn like the most feeble of old men.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's like 114 at this point.
No, Ava Gota is killing me. Actually, Ava Gota probably could kill me.
He's dead now.
If he came back from the
dead.
I expect Abe Vigoda to come back from the dead at any minute, actually.
Oh, absolutely. He's got to, like, guest on something.
It's kind of going to make up for all the shit that's going on in 2016 where Dave Vigoda comes back.
Oh, is that his twin brother, Dave Vigoda?
Yeah, it's like
finally, it's my time to shine.
Man, Dave Vigoda. Those hard Vs, the start and stop, that sucks. Poor Dave.
That's why he works at a pizza joint.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So Clayface escapes.
Sure.
So then we cut back to the boat where Bruce Wayne is now Bruce Wayne again. Yeah. And no one's like,
oh, wait,
where'd
that man go? Wait, he goes back to Bruce Wayne?
He does. She's talking to
and
him.
He's got his VIP pass ready to go. He's wearing a fucking Jason Voorhees t-shirt.
He is so excited. And she's talking to him because this is where we find out, like, there's some like money problems going on with this director. Something's happening. There's like
shock
a rumor mill.
People involved in his movies are suing him and having like his production company audited.
Yes,
because they feel like they're not getting
enough fair
of a
share.
Cut.
Yeah,
from you know the millions of dollars his schlock horror movies are making.
Yeah, and Bruce Wayne's like, I don't care. I love this guy. He's favorite guy.
He's the Jim Wynorski of the seas.
So then we cut back to Clayface hitching a ride with the trucker.
Wait. The next part's bad.
He hitches a ride with the trucker, and the guy, he's like, oh, I have to get to the water, please. And then...
You buy a truck Uber.
Yeah, he got Uber. But then he shot this guy.
Right in the fucking face with a shotgun. This Clayface is brutal this invitation snub.
He's really upset. And then he just dumps his, like... doesn't even stop the car, like pushes about as he's driving, and the dude just like tumbles back, and Clayface is like, now I'm driving.
Well, I mean, also, if you shoot somebody in the fucking head with a shotgun, it's
a
gross
car.
Oh man, yeah. It's just fucking Spaghetti City.
Oh yeah, but no, it's fine. He's just like, I'm gonna sit in it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's basically what happened.
Spaghetti City
is a movie.
Is a missed opportunity for a movie,
something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or a restaurant.
You just throw it at the wall when you get there.
Yeah,
it's fine.
You're good.
So he goes. Somehow he knows exactly where this boat is because he goes and he rents like a little dinghy.
Well, okay, but this is where he talks to the guy. That he's a singer?
Yes, he says, I'm M. Lawrence Flasher, the leader of the Midnight Serenaders, and I'm supposed to perform on this boat. And the guy's like, oh, man, I've been listening to you for years.
That's what's crazy about this shit, though, because Clayface is like a total Kaiser Soze right here.
Yeah.
Because he just heard the radio say that.
Yes.
And he's like, now I'll just be that person.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's like, I am acting, capital A. Like,
yeah, this is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and then, well, this idiot also believes him. He's like, yeah, well, I'll just rent you a boat. You need to get out there, don't you? You know,
he's like, oh, yeah, you're
night boating.
He's like, and your music's great, sir. And like, so he just boats off to find the boat in the middle of the ocean, because that's how easy it is to find boats. And he,
what
like,
was it? How do you know where that is?
I don't know. He knows where it is.
How does he have any nautical...
this is the way I sort of accepted it.
comic books?
Is the idea that, well, because they never specify if this is this like a 6-day jaunt?
Right.
Oh, I see. It could be like, you know, in New York, we have the stupid little cruise boats that go around the island for different things. It might be that, because let's face it, at the end of the day, this is indeed a horror convention on a boat.
Yeah.
You might not need like a 7-day trip to the Bahamas to talk about shitty horror movies.
Just nothing but Death Spa.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love that movie. I'm sorry. I'll do. So anyway, he climbs up, 109 years old or whatever, he climbs up the side of this boat and he just like decides to cosplay himself basically and like blends into the crowd. So then he finds the dressing room and he like gets into his gear, his little Freddy Krueger flasher gear.
And then he's like, oh, and then Batman's like, oh my God, it's Boris Karloff. That's awesome. And he's like, oh wait, no, I have to be Batman. No. That guy's a criminal. You love him. You love his work. But you have to put your fandom aside and fight him.
Don't ask him to sign it.
Could you sign my cowl? So as he's getting ready, the director guy comes in and he's like, what are you doing here? And then there's a big fight. Stab, stab, stab.
Sure.
But you don't see anything. You just hear gasp.
Yes.
Are we going to talk about that hostess ad?
Do
we want to talk about that afterwards?
It's so awesome. We might want to save it for the end.
Yeah, okay, save it for the end.
So then we are, you know, this is a convention full of horror fans. So everybody's at the pool.
Yeah, I want to go swimming with those people.
No one's taking their shirt off. No one should take their shirt off at a horror convention. No. I'll start and stop there.
The only people that are getting into bathing suits are the paid models
that are
there, you know, the actresses trying to get some autographs because mm-hmm. all the dudes are wearing, you know, shorts and flip-flops
yeah.
and shirts.
A lot of cargo shorts.
Cargo.
You are a wrestling fan. I think there's like a pie chart on the internet.
Apparently, Buffalo was named the cargo short capital of the world.
Not letting it go.
No, because somebody was like, there was somebody that wrote about Buffalo, and they're like, I can't believe there's so many cargo shorts here. It's like, well, you know, there's lots of pockets.
You know, you guys need to carry around all the Tim Hortons. That's why there's so many pockets.
Tim Hortons, you need to carry your Jim Stakeout cards.
Yeah, I mean, wrestling fan, Buffalo, Venn diagram of those who wear cargo shorts. Oh. It's one, sir.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just one, sir.
It is. So then we're at the pool, and like Clayface is on top of something, and he like shoots at a guy.
He just shoot. Yeah, he's just like
a sniper now. It's yeah. weird.
He was using a knife, and then he's like, you know what, I'm going back to my gun.
I'm just assassinating people.
Because I wasn't invited to a horror convention on a boat.
Right. And so...
this might be Michael Dorn's end. I'm not sure.
He just flips out.
Yeah, hashtag we want Worf, blam. Hashtag we want Worf, blam.
Why did no one hashtag we want Worf?
That's what it is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He didn't get rid of all those posters.
He didn't move as much as he needed to.
My wife won't stop yelling at me about the cluttered garage. Blam.
Yep.
So once this starts happening, Bruce Wayne is like, I got a chain.
He goes into the pool cabana.
And he's like, no one will notice. And
he's got to be changing in a stall somewhere. Yeah. Just like,
this, yeah.
He's pissed off too, right? Because he's been waiting online for 45 minutes to get Robert Englund's autograph.
I can't believe I got to get out of line.
He's like, I'm 5 people away. So close. So then he like swings up and he starts fighting Clayface and, you know, he's
fighting,
punching all this, whatever. And then Clayface knocks over some sort of like gas canister. Oh, napalm canister.
Did he bring this from home?
Of the century.
It's like, I brought this with me.
Yes.
I made this in the truck
before
I got on the boat.
This doesn't make any sense though. If we're starting this story and he is in this old age home, possibly in Arkham, where is this shotgun coming from? And where is this napalm coming from? More importantly, where is the napalm coming from?
Is it just something you have on a boat for any particular reason?
There's a lot of spots where maybe he picked it up along the way.
Okay.
Was he ass in that napalm? How did he get it in there?
It's true, because he did not carry it up from his little dinghy.
No, he did not. Maybe it's a balloon filled. I don't know.
I'm saying,
yeah.
Liquid napalm.
That's what happens.
That's a safe thing to do, especially if you're flopping around on a boat. The second you get kicked, you go up in a fucking candle.
So he he dumps it into the pool, which then lights on fire.
You'll get that.
And there's this dude was already shot at the pool, but there's still a woman swimming. She's still no one is getting in the way of me enjoying this pool.
And Batman's like,
look, I am a hot actress. You are going to see me in this,
this fucking bikini.
I am going to do it.
So, this woman's nearly drowning. Batman's like, I don't know, but the Dario Argento talk starts in 10 minutes.
I want to get a good seat.
Well, you're referencing my favorite part of this, which is coming up, I think.
So he's like, go to the bottom of the pool, and he jumps in the water, and he's like, thank God my cape is fire retardant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Here, lady, have a rebreather, and I'll wrap you up in this cape, and I'll,
Batman sticking things in ladies' mouths. Okay.
that's favorite pastime. And somehow he, sproings out, there's a goddamn springboard out of this water.
Oh, yeah, how do you get,
he just dove from, a 20-foot, thing, and he didn't die, and he's still going.
And he's also holding this woman at the same time.
Yeah.
Sean, Batman's a phenomenal athlete. He's a huge horror fan first and foremost, but he's a phenomenal athlete.
When he's on the treadmill, he just watches.
Yeah, he's going.
I mean, do you think he's in he has a pool where he practices he's doing those things just in the middle of the pool in full mock Batman gear and he's going,
huh, yeah, it's total aqua size. Yeah, he's doing it.
He's really good at that. That's something Alfred's like, sir, in the middle of your aqua size, would you like some lemonade? Or something like that.
That's what you didn't see in Batman v Superman when Ben Affleck had the chain.
Yep.
It was his feet were actually underwater. You just didn't see that part.
Oh, also, your sick Fango just showed up, Master Wayne. This month's Fangoria, which is obviously.
Oh, look, we've received your VIP passes to the Chillerama convention. It's going to be a busy but spooky summer.
So that lady lives.
Thank God.
Yay. And
so that was your favorite part, Andrew?
No. Okay. Okay.
Just curious.
No, I wanted that woman to die.
Okay, got it.
His favorite part.
Got it. Okay.
No, it's yet to come.
Okay, cool.
So, he gets out and she's like, Batman, you're okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. And then he looks at his glove and he's like, the makeup from when I hit Clayface is no longer on my glove.
Because he was in the water.
He was
in
the water.
That's how that works.
But so she's trying to talk to him about how great he is or whatever. And he's like,
Batman, would you ever do a horror movie? Let me slip you this DVD.
Batman's I'm totally watching that later.
And he just turns on this. He just turns on her and he goes, wait a minute. You helped set this up. And he's like, where's the actor Stacey Dardell? And she's like, oh, I got to look at my program. And he's like, I got to memorize. And he just leaves.
He knows where everybody is.
And so then he goes into a panel.
And this is my favorite part. There's been an assassination on this cruise ship, and there's a fucking workshop happening still.
An assassination and a napalmed pool.
Yeah. This thing is closed for business. We are going back to port. Weird fucking horror convention at sea over with.
Do you think Batman really enjoys the bowels of Netflix for the horror?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
You think he's watching all those movies made in 2010?
Yeah, Monster Truck and all that shit.
He's probably actually going to Amazon Prime because at least they have a couple older movies.
Yeah,
he's a little bit more of a horror snob.
I would imagine. Batman stopped dead in his tracks when they announced Shudder, and he went home. He was fighting Two-Face. He got the update, and he stopped everything and went home and signed up for $4 Shudder.
You know what? Two-Face, you can continue burning down this orphanage. There's a new streaming service only for horror.
I wish Bruce Wayne was a big Shudder fan because he can put some millions of dollars in it to fix the fucking bandwidth issues there. The problem for another day, I say as a Shudder subscriber.
So there's a guy that looks like, I don't know, General Lee, and he's got a fucking pointer, and he's talking about fog from beyond. You know, he got a little
General Lee.
Yeah.
This is the guy giving the presentation at the horror convention.
He's ignoring the gunshots as he's... Because you would hear that on a boat.
Of course you would.
This is your teacher when something cool happened at school.
You would hear the screaming and people run, all the actors running out of the pool area.
Yeah.
Because this isn't like a carnival cruise ship, okay? This is the cruise ship that a horror convention could afford to be on.
And it's like, it's called, it's like patched up and you can tell when you're getting on it, you're like, we might die.
This was a barge, like a garbage barge, like a week ago.
Yeah, they just installed some cabins on this garbage barge.
Oh, see, he kind of looks like General Lee in this picture because he looks like his mustache, but he does not have a mustache. So he's like, and all of a sudden, like Clayface stands up to tell him that his films are garbage. He's like, dare to boast about them, blah 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 blah. I Clayface cursed you, and then he shoots the projector.
Yeah, I feel like Clayface would be a message board troll, like you wouldn't believe.
Oh yeah. Like he's talking shit about a lot of casting news.
Oh yeah.
But he's definitely, if somebody pisses him off, he's definitely checking the IP address and going to kill them.
He's
doing that.
Yeah.
I love when the projector gets hit there, though, because like something goes off and the guy is like, oh, no, he broke my overhead projector on top of it all, on top of shooting that woman in the throat, on top of the napalm. Now we've lost an overhead projector.
But it's actually Batman thinking about that. He says, blast it. That wild shot of his, it shattered the projection lamp.
Batman's upset about
yes,
it?
Yes, because he's like, I was going to fucking watch this movie.
And there was a new restored Night of the Living Dead. Geesh.
It's like, I better ruin the print. And so they're like, turn on the lights, and Clayface is gone. So Batman just like runs back up, and he goes to the dressing room, and... there's another Clayface. And it's like, I thought I killed you and I stuffed you in this thing. And then Batman's like, oh, that's right, Director Karlinger. You actually killed Clayface and now you've been trying to shoot everybody so you didn't have to pay them all this money.
That was confusing to me.
Right?
Yeah. I had no idea what was going on.
So
there.
It wasn't Clayface the whole time or it was Clayface the whole time?
Well, he explains, I think you're coming up on it.
Yeah, so I guess what happened was when he confronted Clayface in the dressing room.
Okay.
Clayface was about to kill him, and I think there was a struggle, and Karlinger killed Clayface then said, what an opportunity.
To get rid of all this debt.
I'll just kill everybody who I owe money to this horror boat.
By the way, I'm having...
Who just happened to all be here?
I am having a boat convention with Sally Mae. They're all invited.
Make sure you do not invite Clayface.
No, Clayface came. He killed everybody.
What a shame. No. So then this guy's like, how did you know, Commissioner? And he's like, well, the makeup he used was like newer makeup.
Right,
it wasn't the stuff.
He Batman, used water-soluble makeup.
Right. Guys, Batman is Tom Savini. he knows it all.
Yeah, he's like, but modern actors wouldn't use that. And Commissioner's like, oh, how smart. You're so great.
Batman, you're like some sort of detective.
and then he like explains this for like three panels. Like there's huge chunks of dialogue. And then literally the last panel, you see him from the back and he goes, and then, of course, there were the attempted murders.
So Clayface.
Oh, okay.
So Clayface is dead then, right?
He's
so
just dead.
Okay, wow. What a big issue.
But well, no. Well,
this is the Basil Carlo one.
Yeah, because there's like nine Clayface.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of them, and I think the next one's Matt Hagen.
How do they all keep becoming Clayface?
Well, Matt Hagen
opened vats in Gotham.
Well,
oh, fuck yeah, I knew it.
I think this was just like he was Clayface and he had like weird makeup, so I don't think he was like melty.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's more of like a Lon Chaney.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here.
But Matt Hagen had, so Matt Hagen's story was he. Okay, so he had, what was it, he had Andre the Giant disease.
Oh,
he had
shit.
Acromegalia. Oh, wow. Acromegaly. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm hideous, and everybody thinks I'm hideous. Like, he even became a doctor. Like, this is actually in the comic, one of the other comics we're going to read. He's like, I became a doctor, but even my coworkers were like, you're too hideous to be a doctor.
Too hideous to be a doctor.
And, like, the only way they drew him is just, like, he had, like, more forehead. And you're like, okay, like, you're not hideous, but he, like... really took this hard.
I'm not going to fuck you, but you could still be a doctor.
Well, that's yeah, no, but he no, wasn't that's, even he like chose, a hideous dude. He, was
he
just
chose
like,
a famously sexy profession.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
If he became like, you know, just like an auto mechanic, uh-huh. or yeah. Yeah, like yeah, a librarian, garbage man, whatever. Fine. Yeah, he's just a normal looking dude, but he's Dr. Ugly.
Yeah. That's
okay. You're ugly for a doctor.
Is that a Grey's Anatomy
character? Yeah.
So he ended up doing some research to try to figure out how to reverse his condition or something, and then he tried it on himself and it turned him into goop.
Oh,
and turned yeah. into a
well,
goop.
Well, no, he was sexy for a little bit. And oh, that's right. And then he got like a chick who was like, oh my God, Dr.
Yeah, he
sexy.
Went on a date.
And so he went on a date and he was like holding her hand and he like siphoned all of her.
Oh shit.
And then she became goop and then he became goop.
Because like, yeah, because really we're doing on a date and it was one of those things where all of a sudden his face started melting and she's like, oh no. And he's like, ah.
And you hate when that happened on a date. You just started melting at the restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't that happened to?
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah. And Batman is convinced everybody will convict doctor or a director, whatever. And that probably makes him sad because I know he really loved that guy's work.
Yeah,
he's a big fan.
He's a big fan.
So,
he's a big hound.
There is a backup that we did not read.
I didn't read that.
It was a Batgirl back. Well, we didn't send it.
We didn't send it. Okay, good. Which we didn't read because it's a whole full-length fucking story. So we didn't read it.
And look, guys, Batgirl's boring. Just I think she's boring, but we gotta talk about that ad.
Slightly looks slightly racist. I'm just saying.
Oh yeah, there's some voodoo stuff going on. This is the '80s.
There's some
voodoo stuff going on.
Thanks anyway, comic book from 1980. I was
like, ooh, that's racist. Let's not do that. So there it is. There's a Hawkman hostess ad here,
which is delightful.
And I gotta tell you, this is I very rarely read single issue comics. I was always, you know, just collect them into a book kind of guy. But I hated these. It's like the secret ads.
Yes.
Where if you're not paying attention, all of a sudden you're just reading it and you're like, oh, Hawkman's here? That's kind of cool. Why is Hawkman talking about shitty cakes? Oh, fuck you. It's an advertisement. You sly bastards.
Yep.
It's also funny in these old ads because it's basically what happens. A parachutist is falling. Hawkman saves him. And he's like, oh, thank God I didn't crush my shitty cupcakes.
Well, no, wait.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
No, I think what happened here was the guy that's jumping, his chute was filled with the cupcakes instead of...
Oh, I took the cupcake bag instead of the parachute bag? What a fucking bungle.
He's like, my chute's not opening.
Oh, no, it's cupcakes.
And then his cupcakes, and thankfully Hawkman was just kind of hanging out in the area.
Doing skydiving with Ralphie May? Why would there be that many cupcakes?
So do you think that if this guy died and became a pancake, all the friends that were waiting for him would be like, oh, sweet cupcake. Like,
that's what I was hoping that would happen. Like, his body would just incinerate on the ground.
Right.
Or just, you know, blow apart. And then but the cupcakes would be there and be like, oh, there's still cream. Oh,
not bad.
Spongy filling, you know, or whatever.
Still could have been.
Well, actually, my favorite part is at the very end. So, like, Hawkman saves this guy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and the host is cupcakes. I'm sure you're ready. And I'm ready for some right now. Right fucking now, my life.
After you almost die, first thing you want to do is eat cupcakes.
Yep.
You got to live your life.
Hostess cupcakes, too.
Well, hang on. So he's like, so they're all like, filling, because they do it at the end with like, oh yeah, this is great. And then they're like, guys, like, thanks, Hawkman, for the rescue. And Hawkman just, the way he says this is kind of funny. He's like, forget it. Just enjoy your hostess cupcakes, as if he's like, you fucking idiot.
Don't waste Hawkman's time.
Because probably on his way down, he's like, I forgot to put the right chute on. And then I came down thinking, and he's like, why did you do that?
Yeah, it's like,
you
know,
I was trying to get, I have to get to the JLA mountain.
Yeah exactly.
Hawkman or, you know, Flash is there. Mm. We're doing stuff.
It's a barbecue.
And I had a barbecue. They're going to, Wonder Woman's bringing a salad. And I love this. They're bringing a Greek salad. And somebody's going to get there and eat all the olives out of there first before I can get there. And I had to save your ass. And he's like, forget it. Just enjoy your cupcakes.
Enjoy your cupcakes. I should have let you die.
Pretty much. So that is Detective Comics number 496 from November 1980. Would you read the next issue?
Oh, I totally would. I like the single issue format. Like, again, it's not X Factor where there's a billion different stories that I can't follow. It's like, this is what's happened. It's Batman on a horror boat. Bing, bang, boom.
Also, like, the paneling is really clean, and the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not that, like, the X Factor one, just to draw a contrast, like, there's so many words per panel, and it drives me freaking crazy.
And
like,
it's busy.
It's super busy.
Yeah. It's so hard to follow. I don't like when I'm reading a comic, and I don't, like, my eyes don't know what I'm supposed to be reading next.
Back in the day when they would kind of go outside the box for that stuff.
Yeah.
They would even have arrows.
Right.
Yeah. To tell you. It's like, yo, look here. Not in the 90s. Fuck it. You didn't get arrows.
No,
yeah.
You didn't.
Yeah.
No arrows in the 90s.
But I'm definitely reading through to the next one, though, because I want to see what kind of weird convention Bruce Wayne's going to next.
Yeah, you know he's going to, like, looking, was it, what's the one called? The sexy one in Vegas?
AVN AVN Awards?
Oh, that's, yes.
I'm yeah, he's
oh, man, if Bruce Wayne attended pornography awards... Sure.
I mean, he's doing that. I mean, he's going to all of them. He's into genres.
Yes.
Yeah, right. He's going to sci-fi. He's going to Star Trek.
He's definitely going to a Star Trek convention. Yeah. I'd watch that.
Do you think he dresses up like Spock?
Yeah.
Does he? Do you think he's a Spock guy? You think he's got the ears and everything?
Oh, yeah. Bruce Wayne's coming in with ears. Yeah.
Bruce Wayne's... Yeah, actually, Batman is a genius, so he would speak Klingon, wouldn't he?
Oh, that's actually true.
The Spock ears are actually over the Batman cowl.
Oh, yeah.
So they're just on the side.
And, you know, honestly, if Bruce Wayne did learn fluent Klingon, he'd officially be the fittest person in the galaxy to speak fluent Klingon. Put that out there.
Okay.
Would you read it?
Oh, yeah. I would read it. We probably have it, don't we?
I think we probably do.
So, we probably have it. Yeah, we're fine. I was going. Wait. I sorted all the DC books. And I was like, we got way too many Batmans. Way too many.
Don't touch my Batmans.
we're collecting all those Balint Catwomans. Mm-hmm. You know,
those are all mine too.
Yeah.
But so,
I would check it out. Okay, well, that's it for this week's show. Once again, thank you to Andrew Drupin, Stephen Sadak for joining us. Yeah,
totally.
Where can people check your stuff out?
You can go to whmpodcast.com. We're on iTunes. You can go to sideshow.tv. We're there too. Rate and review the show. Every Tuesday, a new episode comes out. And patreon.com/wehatemovies for a lot of bonus stuff.
Yeah, we're about to go into our spooktacular month, which will be exciting. Ooh.
Very exciting. Just
speaking of horror conventions.
Exactly. Yeah. There's you guys got some good stuff planned for that?
I don't know that we've talked about it. Yeah. Oh, we'll drop one. Pet Cemetery 2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's the Eddie Furlong one, right?
That's Eddie Furlong and his little fat friend who gets terrorized, which is just the best.
Actually, that has a very disturbing car accident scene.
Yes. Yeah.
Like much like the first one. Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Batman loves that movie, you guys.
Ace the Bad Hound, this is for you. He's totally buried Ace.
Oh, for sure.
Back cow's getting buried there.
Yeah.
Oh, back cow's getting eaten. Come on.
Master Wayne, would you like some beef of cow?
They call it hamburger.
Bat burgers. All right.
That's it.
Right, there
He's
you
just
go.
Eating it and crying.
Actually, Damien would be quiet. I don't think. Which. Fuck Damien.
Oh, yeah, fuck Damien Wayne, sorry.
What is this Damien Wayne? It's like his unknown son or something that comes back.
Yeah, and it's Grant Morrison's fault.
He crops up in some of these. Every once in a while, I'll check out these like DC animated movies, you know, and he crops up every once in a while, and I'm like, eject.
I can't stand him. I'm like, not watching that one.
Yeah, nope, just chalk that up to, I don't know what this is.
All right.
So.
Well, that's it for this
week. Where can they find you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm at Angry Hero Sean on Twitter, SHAWN, also Instagram, and Tumblr is theangryhero.tumblr.com.
Nice.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, and jenstansfield.wordpress.com. I still haven't decided if I'm reviewing Gotham again.
What's going on with that third season? It was like Gotham season 3: some bit of bullshit.
Mad City.
What's that about?
Monsters.
That's with...
Monsters?
Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, right. And John Travolta, there's the water crisis and they lied about it. Oh, yeah, that was a political thriller.
Yeah, that's what it is.
the Gotham City has monsters in it. There was there's a Koopa in there.
Oh, that's right. There was a Koopa. There was it. He got hit by a truck within the first 2 minutes of the season premiere.
Nice.
Wow, that sucks.
Guy showed up with Stegosaurus spikes on his back and he got hit by a truck and then Gordon went.
sounds about right.
That's literally the same. That's a series in a nutshell, which it's saying it's so bad, but I'm starting to like, I'm not a Batman guy, but I'm starting to watch it and I'm like more like looking forward to it. I like watching Jen watch it. That's actually because like watching her be like, why are you doing, why? Because, you know, Alfred's out there slapping kids. I mean,
yeah, oh yeah, shit's
like,
going on.
Like full on slap, like, you know, just beating kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bruce Wayne is just listening to death metal.
Yeah,
you know,
it's really bad.
It's out of control.
So. Is Jada Pinkett Smith still on?
Oh, the yeah. Oh, yeah. And she is just chewing all the scenery. Like, that's literally all she does.
She's getting dudes to do things. She has, like, a power to make people do things for them. And she's getting dudes to make her, like, grilled cheese sandwiches and shit.
Ooh.
Like, literally, she asked some guy to make her grilled cheese sandwich. Because there's a lot of fingernail acting. Oh, so there's, like, this going on.
Oh,
it's,
man. This
it's
is
insane.
Appointment viewing. Isn't it? Appointment viewing for somebody.
I think we'll be watching that over the Bates this week. I don't know. Are we?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
It might be the same. I kind of wish they would two both kind of come together. That'd be great. Monsters on the debates.
Or Donald Trump could just get hit by a truck.
And Jim Gordon goes, that's it. Yeah. But, the end of the election.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Please rate, subscribe, review, tell a friend. You know, give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it. And thank you again for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Bye.